The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life. But isn't it nice to smile? Isn't it nice to go, well, that was cute? The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, hopefully before this show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we decide to. If we decide to put them into practice, that would be awesome. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Doing things in our lives that we know that have nothing to do with Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Doing things that we think, is that from the Lord? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that from the Lord? Is that correction? Is that rebuke? Is that teaching? All of that, just remember that between now and the time the trumpet blows, God makes you look more and more like Jesus in reality, like you are already in position. Keep in mind, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want you to let it die of loneliness. You can just reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. If you call, Terrific T will answer the phone. It's a very nice thing. Also, you can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, which, of course, leads us to the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so before we, Troy's calling in to say hey, and before we take that call, I just want you to be aware of something. If you have a praise report, a prayer request, if you have an answer to Bible trivia, which will start in the next segment, so we do it in the segment after this, if you have something the Lord's working on in your life, and you're like, yeah, I wanted to share this, and just or you just have a general question, you're always welcome to reach out to us. The biggest premise of the entire show, our premise, so that nobody is confused, it is our desire to help each and every Bible-believing, born-again Christian to get one step closer to the Lord, just a little bit closer to the Lord. That's all we're looking for. And if you're a person that's never made that decision or that commitment to acknowledge and surrender to Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do so, so that you may enjoy eternal life and that partnership with God through this earthly journey. All right, I'm going to take the phone call real quick. It will be Troy. Hey, Troy, how you doing, brother?
All right, sir. About 2 years ago, now this hadn't been 100 years ago, hadn't been 150 years ago. This was 2 years ago. This missionary, he went over to some country, spread the gospel. Have you heard about it?
There are. I know so many stories.
They had
Go ahead.
They had never heard from him anymore.
That's not even an unusual occurrence. I had somebody that attended my church that was a missionary. This is many years ago, about 25 years ago. Attended the church I was pastoring, and he was heard from no more on a missionary journey. And we had to minister to his wife and his children. It's very, very hard. People, this happens. There's a greater sense of persecution against Christians all over the world than people know. And in this country, there's almost none. People consider it persecution when they tell them that they can't pray in school. It's a restriction, but that's not persecution. Persecution is when you lose your life, or when you lose not just your rights, but your ability to live normally in any capacity, when they take away your ability to have water, have bread, have finances, have health, anything. That's where persecution gets real serious. But I have not heard of this specific one, but there are multitudes that are just uncountable.
Well, the announcer on TV said it wasn't a country wanting to go in there and see if they could find him.
It's hard.
That is strange. That is strange, isn't it?
Yeah. It's difficult, but keep in mind, this is part of that willingness in that gospel. If you read Hebrews, there was a willingness for people to lay down their lives, and it's something that Hebrews says is fascinating. It said the world was not even worthy of them, but they were willing to give themselves up for the gospel cause because they believed that the resurrection and what they can do for the resurrection and the process and the future was better and more worthwhile than the earthly journey.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, missionaries been lost before, but this is kind of strange in modern days that nobody wants to go in. Well, they said they didn't want to go in there and bring his body out or something like that.
Yeah, and that's going to happen more and more, and you're going to hear more and more about that as the love of many grows cold. That's going to get harder and harder. But you keep praying for them. You pray for their families. You got to pray for all the people that support them. Got to pray for them, of course, that they return safely. But if not, all the people that they've touched, you want to pray for them to be encouraged.
Well, that bill I told you about yesterday, New York Times didn't even cover it.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I don't read that. So, if I had a,
I just heard it on the news. There's another problem. There are all these newspaper reporters going over to that other country that we blowed up instead of coming to Israel and see if what their damage was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you haven't heard the show for a long enough time, but so you can understand, I don't think there are any news outlets. I think there are people that are narrators that have a story to tell, but they don't objectively report the news. That's been dead for years. That's just my opinion. All right,
I'll let you go. Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you, bro. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, so and people have asked me that, and I've said this without reservation. Media stands for making everyone dumber in America. I mean, I don't care what you say. It's not objective. Anytime the news media picks a political side, the whole thing's gone. It's over. These are the same people, by the way, that said it wasn't fair that a team won in the World Series because they won 4-3, but the other team scored more runs. Oh, my gosh. Just smile and nod your head and go, that's cute, All right, let's move on. Just going to move forward or I'll start laughing and losing it. Psalm chapter, are we all good? You doing good? Okay, all right. Psalm chapter 3, by the way, my daughter's in town, so I'm excited. I'll get a chance to see her today. Psalm chapter 3 says this, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. I find this a fascinating portion, and the reason that I'm stopping here is because I find this a fascinating portion in chapter 3 of the Psalms, in Psalm 3, I should say. It's so amazing that ultimately, it seems like these people who are talking about King David are saying there's no help for him in God. God can't help him. What does that make you think when somebody would say, it's such a bad situation, God can't help? Well, it makes me think, A, that person doesn't know God, or B, that person's not a friend of God, or C, if that's a person that believes in God, man, are they judgy? I mean, come on. It's like, you got to be kidding. There is no help for God. God can't even help him. It's like, wait, what? God can't even help them? This is one of those things where I take this on as us as Christians. And yes, I do it on purpose, so don't misunderstand what I'm doing. The ultra approach to this passage should be fully in context in David's situation. He was being troubled, and if you just go through it that way, you can fully understand that. And he cries out to the Lord, and we'll get to that, and we're going to get to that in the next segment. But the understanding here is that the people that were crying or causing problems for David and giving him a grief were like of the opinion that God couldn't even help him. And sometimes the Christians kind of offer up that opinion too. That person's so lost. Yeah, God couldn't even help him. And it's like, yeah, no, that's never the case. God can always help. When anybody ever says there's no help for a person in God, you should immediately go, that guy, that gal, that person knows nothing of God. Is there anything God cannot do? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Yes, he cannot sin. That's not what the question's being asked. Is there anything too hard for God to accomplish? No. And it's like when people say, there's no help for him in God. It's like that. And yet I almost think this, and I even wrote this note in my Bible. Gosh, is that coming from believers? Because people who don't believe in God usually don't say, hey, God can't even help them. Because if they don't believe, they don't believe in God. So it's got to have some kind of confidence or something. It's like, wait. God can help anybody, anywhere, do anything God desires. Here's the main reason why. He's God. And so when you have people and they're just really, so far away, so distant, you don't have to give up on them. You can always ask God or surrender to God or submit to God so that he might bring in the answer. Because why? He can. Anybody can be redeemed by the Lord. That's the key. Anybody you know can be redeemed by the Lord. How's that? Fair enough? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple. Because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right, here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
The cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, boy. And my daughter's visiting in Texas. You know what you say when it's raining? First of all, I was going to give you the weather report. You know what the weather is outside? Ready? Wet. That's what it is. Wet. that's like an old Steve Martin joke. You know what it is when it's not light? Dark. It's like, that's so great. Anyway, let's go back to this. Our trivia question. That's right. Here's our trivia question. My daughter is here in Texas. It's raining. It's nice. She's close. I'm happy. Okay. Except the ride in was like living in Hawaii in a wave. What Persian queen upset the king and his counselors by refusing to appear before them at their drunken banquet? All right, now you got to think, right? Because people will give the answer off the top of their head. Slow down. What Persian queen upset the king and his counselors by refusing to appear before them at their drunken banquet? Okay, all right. If you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. That's one way to get in touch with us. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. For those that are sitting there scratching your head, think pre-Esther. That's all good. That's pre-Esther. That's not sub-Esther. Okay. Ready for DNA? Are you ready? We can do it. Okay, here we go. DNA. And you want to know why you need DNA? You need it every single day. And the reason why you need DNA is because everything is changing and revolving and moving around you. And that's okay because you're in the Lord. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily, which means you can't afford to just check in with God every so often just when things are bad or just when things are good. You need to check in with him all the time. Jesus said when he was teaching people to pray, when you pray, our Father art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. See, day and daily. Those are the keys. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what the world tries to make you think. The world has no heaven to put you in, and you should care less what they think. Who cares? It's like, oh, that's not very Christian-like. That's funny coming from a non-Christian, isn't it? And then A stands for always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is our response that we have this relationship and connection to God, and that's the most important thing where everything flows from. In that connection, he wants us to be vessels of his compassion and vessels of his wisdom, and that's what you put yourself into on a daily basis, ready to serve other people, and doing that is demonstrating a love for God. So that's what your DNA is. Okay? Make sense? Okay. It's all right. What Persian queen upset the king and his counselors by refusing to appear before them at their drunken banquet? Think pre-Esther. You have to think about that. All right. Next text. Rex said, we already did everything. Did that. Good job there. Okay. I get to see my grandkids. All right, here we go. Back to the Psalms. So we did this. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Okay? Bad call there. Now listen to this. This is so wonderful. People don't even know what this means. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I'm going to stop there and talk to you about this word shield, because that's an important word. That word shield is actually, some of the translations are rather unfortunate, even here in the New King James Version, which I'm reading out of. Not the best translation, because that word actually has to do with surrounding or around something. So it should be, oh, Lord, you are a, you know, like a bubble protector. Like you're a 360-degree force field around me. Now, they wouldn't have understood force field the way we would, because we're everybody's lived through the sci-fi era. And so you would look at it and you say, oh, Lord, you're not just a shield in the front, but this would be a shield on the sides and a shield in the back. The Lord covers you in front, to the sides, and to the back. So why that's important for us to understand is because when he says he's a shield, that shield in front of you is for things that you're coming against, that you're facing. When things come at you from one side or another, those are the sneaky things that you can't see, and then the things from the back have to do with the past. And it's just think about how it is. If you can just imagine, I'm just trying to think of this. Have you ever seen those huge bubbles that people go in and they go rolling down the hill and they bump into things and so on and so forth? That's kind of, I guess not a plastic bubble, but that surrounding mentality, that's what's being talked about. Oh, Lord, you are my shield all the way around, in front of me, behind me, and to the sides. You're my shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Not what David is not saying is, oh, I'm always happy and my head's always lifted up. He didn't say that. He says, you're the one that picks me up. Lifts me up, makes me look up, makes me shine. Sometimes we look down way too much. We're down, we're discouraged, we're disgusted, we're defeated at times. People feel that way. You might lose battles, but you don't lose the war. And that's the key component. The war has already been decided, but there's still mop-up battles. Now, somebody's going to probably call and correct me, but I'm pretty sure that when they officially knew they were going to win World War II, it was because of a strategic win that they had accomplished, and they knew they were going to win the war. All they had to do was, you know, keep executing, but there were still mop-up battles afterwards until it was all done. That's what's really important to understand. You're going to win the war. There's just mop-up battles. You just got to kind of go through that, and you're not going to get out of that. That's how it's going to be. That's why the Lord will be the one who lifts your head up. He'll be your glory. He'll be your strength. He'll be your shine. He'll be your sunlight. You know, and one of the things that I find amazing, sometimes when it's sunny outside, people have a better disposition because it's sunny, because it's like it's kind of warm and it feels good. And it's like the Lord is your sunshine. Okay, you are my sunshine, you know, so like that kind of thing. So think of the Lord that way and in those terms. And then David says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. And here, this is that intimacy part of David. And it's just, he's the most, I would probably say the Psalms are the most fascinating writings of all, you know, except for the words of Jesus being the words that actually teach us about salvation. David's communication about human existence is just extremely fascinating. It's amazing how it takes place. He cries to the Lord with his voice. There are times where you are just at the end and you got nothing left but to cry. Now, I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. I've been there on, I would say, probably, since I've been a Christian, probably about 10, maybe 10 times, where I'm just like, all I got left are tears. I don't have anything left. And what's important to understand is that a person who's crying to the Lord is heard. Every tear is recorded. God knows what's going on, and he knows that anguish. And that's the place that you want to bring it. In other words, I know that, unfortunately, in our society, they got all these things called safe space and safe place, and I got all that stuff. Okay. All right, fine. Let's just do the right thing then. Let's understand that the Lord is your safe place, that he is your safe space, and that nowhere on the earth, because it's sin, it still exists on this planet, is it safe, except in the arms of the Lord, where it is safest. It is the safest, most peaceful, most secure, most encouraging place that you can go to is into the Lord. And when you cry, he hears you. And I don't know about you guys, but normally when I cry and I feel alone. I think most people, like when you're crying, it's like your pain. Like when my mom died, she was the greatest mom. And when she passed, it was, you know, after all the funeral stuff and all the stuff's done, and we're at home and Noel and I are there on the couch, and man, I just broke down and, you know, crying like crazy. And Noel could not comfort me because the pain and the emotion and everything was there, but I knew that the Lord was like next to me. I wouldn't say he had his hand on me, though I'm sure he did. And it's like, that's the place. He's the place. That's where you go. So even though there's people that are like, well, nobody can help that, but God can't even help that person. That's ridiculous. And then to recognize that God also puts a bubble about us, and there's more protection in your life than you know of from God, from things you don't even know of, which is fine. I'd rather, you know, those sneak attacks on the side be pushed down by God. That's good by me. Right? And that whatever you're facing forward, the Lord helps you see and walk through in faith. And whatever's behind you, the Lord will protect you. He'll be your rear guard. There's actually a passage that says the Lord is your rear guard. And then you cry out to the Lord and he hears you. All these pictures right now are different. He's in trouble. He's hurting. It's not going great. But there's only one place to go, and that's the Lord. And for some of you, you think it's like an old cliche, and I say, oh yes, just go to the Lord. He'll talk. And it's like when you say that, or when you think that, it just means that you don't know the Lord at that depth of relationship. Have you ever had one person that you talk to, that you call, when you know it's going bonkers, there's this one person, I don't care if it's mom, dad, sister, brother, friend, I don't care if it's, you know, long distance, doesn't matter. And there's just a person you go to that is just like always there. Well, that's who God is 1,000 times more. Always there for you, ready and willing to help you. Okay? That's the big thing. All right. In regards to the trivia question, who was that queen who did not do that great a job? She's pre-Esther. It was Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti, that's why Esther came into being or got that position, because Queen Vashti, not nice. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that He's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.